a Radio 191 FM podcast.
They're coming to us from Tamaki Makaurau. They're putting out a new album as part of a great band we love to call Dick Move. We've got Lucy Sutter from Dick Move here to talk about their new album, Dream, Believe, Achieve. How are we doing this morning, Lucy?
Morena, Radio 1. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Very glad to have you. Is Sutter the correct way to pronounce your name?
Yes, it is. Honestly, no one ever gets that right, so thank you very much.
No worries, man. No worries. How was your Halloween, man? Halloween just went by. Did you do much for it?
Honestly, not really, because I actually went down to the Silver...
Uh-oh, I think we've got some technical difficulties here. Some cheeky bandwidth difficulties. Zoom is such a fickle creature sometimes. Are you still there, Lucy? Oh, right, Raggy. Are you there, man?
I'm there. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'll just turn my video off to preserve bandwidth. I think it's a classic Zoom connection.
Finicky. Okay, I'll turn mine off too.
No, you're okay. But you said you weren't doing much for Halloween. You're just chilling out.
I didn't do much because I went to the Silver Scrolls. Last week on Wednesday, and it was a sizable night. So kind of was just relaxing. But I did just kind of get out and walk around K Road, and it was absolutely popping off. There was like a Halloween dog costume competition, and yeah, it was massive.
Whoa, that sounds like a lot of fun. Silver Scrolls would have been a real blast. A friend of mine played at the Silver Scrolls, which was, I was so proud of them for that. It was an incredible moment.
The performances were beautiful because it was directed by Delaney Davidson. Mm. So it was, rather than just having, already formed bands playing the nominations, it was just like compilations of incredible musicians mainly from the South Island, and it was honestly the best Silver Scrolls I've been to, I think. It was stunning.
Oh, sick, man. Around this time last year, you posted a black and white sort of heritage-looking photo on your Instagram, which had your great-grandma Frida, your grandmother Denise, and your great-aunt Diana in some sort of old-timey Pilates-type scenario. And I just wanted to know, what were they up to in that photo?
Yes, this is like a Nardwa interview. I love it. So that was my great-great-grandmother, my great-aunt, and my gran. And my great-grandmother used to teach elocution lessons and aerobics for young women back in Wellington, back in, I don't even know when it would have been, the 50s or whatever. And so they used to, she used to make her daughters do the aerobics classes and pose for shots like that, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But
oh, my goodness.
And Diana... One of them that was in there, my great aunt Diana Mason, was married to Bruce Mason, the playwright. And so, yeah, they had they used to be quite a known family around Wellington. And yeah.
Crack up. Having an elocutionist in the family is incredible. Do you think that filtered down? Did that filter down to you?
No. I don't even need to tell you what it is. I know that they used to like walk around the room with books on their head and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Now, you're a trained masseuse, you're an actor, you're getting ready to be a nurse, you're an incredible punk musician. Does your head get sore from wearing so many different hats?
Yes, very sore. Maybe I could have done with those classes. I'm doing a lot. I'm not doing massage anymore. I closed that when I started my nursing degree.
Yeah.
But I do wear a lot of hats all the time. But you know, it's got to be fun. You got to have a lot of things in your bag when you're doing music.
Oh yeah, I mean, I want to know. You've got an active background. Does having a formal drama education sort of give you an edge when it comes to like stage presence when you're live?
It's funny, people ask me this all the time, and I've always assumed, and I guess it does. Like, I am very comfortable in front of a crowd, but then again, like, I've always found the most difficult thing about being on stage is doing like banter and kind of being, being myself rather than being a character, which is what you would do when you're acting. So It definitely doesn't help with, like, I still get nervous as shit and everything. But I guess I do love to perform, so that helps, I'm sure. And I hope it does help, because, you know, I paid $30,000 for a performing arts degree, so that I'm not really using it anymore. So,
yeah. That's good to have in the bag. You know, you never know when it might come handy.
Exactly.
Dream, believe, achieve is the mantra of this new album. Did you sort of intend for it to be a sort of kind of playing on maybe a self-help kind of vibe there?
Yeah, so we on our first tour down in the South Island, we were staying in a Airbnb in Otatahi, which was just full of, like, what we would call batch art, you know, like motivational driftwood paintings on the walls and things. And there was just one that said "Dream, Believe, Achieve," and it kind of stuck with us. And we're like, we'll use that one day for something. And it was kind of a joke for a long time. But then when we were writing this album, and a lot of the songs, a lot of the context is around like people power and union and yeah, like, I guess it kind of just like, just we just were like, yeah, this is a good slogan for it.
For sure.
So mobilizing and bringing people together to you know, fight the bad guys. So I guess that was it.
To resist the powers that be. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's pretty crack up that this record and all those themes coincided with the historic strike that happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And speaking of people power, I mean, 100,000 strong marching against you know, this horrible government. That's something.
Well, that's, yeah, totally. And that's exactly what Nurses, the song is about, because I'm, as you mentioned, I'm studying to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. So it's a little personal one as well, but also it was a response to just the massive under-resourcing and understaffing that's going on in all of those sectors. And, you know, the government, landlords, and $300 million to Big Tobacco, and left nothing for the health system, and said that there's no money, public health system, and so they, you know, they're trying to defund, destabilize, and privatize. And so, also a throwback to the amazing hikoi, Tetiriti hikoi, that happened over the bridge. The song is about people power and mobilizing, and kind of not letting them win, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing. I was at that protest as well, the strike. And it was incredible. Yeah,
I
really, really feel it.
And I bet that you're in a cohort where people, like, I mean, half of all nursing graduates, half the new ones, are just straight up going overseas. I imagine you're in a cohort where conversations like that are happening quite a lot.
Yeah, like at the start of my degree, they asked us, in my cohort of about 200 people, they said, who's planning on going overseas? Going to Australia specifically, obviously, and I reckon 60 to 70% of the class put their hand up. And it is just like that, because also, like, the only, I think, 40% of new grad nurses got jobs at the end of last year, and 50% at the mid-year intake as well this year. And now they've changed, they've kind of like been denying that there's a higher freeze, but there is. And now their response to that is to offer new grads jobs, but only 0.6, which is part-time. So, like, I'm looking at, you know, going after my very long, hard, expensive degree, then going into only getting part-time work. So it's not good enough, and it needs to change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as you say, if you have money for Philip Morris, you can have money for Jenny Morris, the lady who's looking after your sick family.
Yeah, exactly.
On the new album, I'm a massive fan of the track Scared Old Men, which is a rallying cry against really patriarchy in all its forms, from casual misogyny to the octogenarians in power across the world who are sort of heralding the world's doom by ignoring things like the Gaza genocide or climate change. And, you know, they're the same people who are probably responsible for the death of Mr. Jeffrey Epstein. Why are these men so scared?
Well, that was a beautiful explanation. I couldn't have done that better myself. So that's the thing, and I think the reason why it's Scared Old Men and, you know, not Stupid Old Men is that, like, you nailed it. It really is about the system that is the patriarchy, not just about men. because I knew that when we put the song out, some people would be like, you know, doing the "not all men, I'm okay" type thing. It's not actually just about men. It's about, because men are, you know, they are failed by the system of the patriarchy as well.
Of course, yeah.
And because it kind of defines and limits what masculinity is, and those old men also a call for men to recognize that within their groups, and to kind of also help us and help society by themselves fighting the patriarchy as well. So yeah, and I know that like fighting the patriarchy gets thrown around so much, but I think it is, you know, it is the cause of all of those things that you had mentioned. And so it's a good, and it's a very frustrating and exhausting thing to fight against, and that's why that song is a very frustrating and exhausting song to play and also to listen to, I think.
To listen to it. It's very motivating. <You know? laughs> Very energizing. But there's a great repeating line at the very end of the song, "Scared old man in my head." And I think that's the whole reflection of internalized patriarchy. And that's the way that patriarchy, subtly and subversively infiltrates your thinking and kind of parasitically passes it on to the next generation. How do you kill the scared old man in your head?
Community, I think. I think staying ignited in your community is what happens, and talking about it. Talking about those problems and talking about those issues that you had just mentioned. That's why it's a frustrating thing, because I find that like fighting against capitalism and fighting against things like that is a almost fun and cathartic thing, whereas you're right, like the patriarchy does infiltrate your brain, and as women, that's what's happening constantly. How the pressures of society are all put in place by the patriarchy, and that's what we kind of have to can't get away from in our brains all the time. So I guess being aware of that and talking about that and fighting against that with your community is the way to go.
For sure, man. There's another real fun song on the album that I can chat about. It's called Karanga Hape, which is an ode to K Road, incredible road in Auckland. I've heard. I've never been. I must go sometime soon. What is that place like for you? Like, what does that place represent?
Yeah, we were born on K Road, on Karanga Hape Road. We have. So Lulu, our bassist, she owns a bar called Whammy Bar, so obviously a fantastic music venue. There's not many of them left in Tāmaki Makaurau. And so that's where we all worked there, and that's where we've kind of has been our base for the 6 years that we've been together. And we see gentrification all around. Ponsonby's just around the corner from Karanga Hape Road, and it kind of does leech in onto Karanga Hape Road, but the thing doesn't change, and I don't think will change, is that there's this incredible, vibrant street community of people. So the people that, and it's obviously a sad thing, is they're the unhoused population, homeless population. But they kind of run the road, and that's what I speak about in that song. I say there's ghosts that haunt the road. They're friends that we all know. They've been here longer than you. They live here. They own it. So it's like, as long as the characters and the people that are on K Road are still there, it's not going to lose its mana, and it's not going to lose its kind of heart. And it's, yeah, there's a lot, all the businesses along K Road that have been there for a really long time, their main goal is to keep K Road not gentrified, and having a soul, the kind of dirty, grungy, scungy soul that it's always had. And so I don't think they can change it too much. With gentrification, so yeah, we love K Road.
Nice. I know someone who used to own a business on K Road, and they mentioned that they actually fostered like a really positive relationship with the homeless people on that road, and it was great. It was like quite a mutually beneficial relationship. By all accounts.
Totally. And it's like the same people have been here for so long. There's like it is truly a community, and there's like a real There's people that look out for each other on the road as well. So, and quite often there's a lot of issues with, when there's you know, bad drugs and things going around. And there's, you know, it was a big change in over COVID and lockdown when they kind of, they housed them over that time. And then a whole, the road was left empty. So a whole lot of new people came in from outside of Auckland and kind of took over. It's like a turf war type vibe.
Whoa.
But it's kind of, it has kind of settled itself out again. And like, I don't know, I also live on K Road and I walk around a lot at nighttime and I don't ever feel unsafe. I think that it's like a, I don't know, you treat them, you just got to treat the people there like you treat everyone else, and they're actually, and you can learn a lot from them and have conversations with them, and they're real, yeah, real, the heart and soul of the road, really.
Mm. Well, there's that very middle class sort of notion of safety, which is that anyone who's homeless or might look a little bit scraggly or whatever is immediately a threat, but that's not the case. It's like, you know, and that's coming from someone who's very middle class. I'm a very middle class person. But it's such a, you got to like dispel those notions, because you're just going to walk around with like a, you know, looking over your shoulder all the time at these people who are not going to hurt you.
Exactly. And there's also like a big part, like a lot of them aren't actually homeless. A lot of them actually have homes or have, you know, they have
sort of residencies. Yeah.
Yeah, but they still, that's where they hang out and that's where they, you know, spend all of their time, because that's, you know, that's their community, that's their,
oh, are you still
that's
there?
Their place. And so, yeah, you if you walk there? Around like being scared of people, yes, I'm there.
Sorry, sorry, yeah. Zoom keeps cutting out.
But yes, we love them. We love the community.
We sure do. And we love the huge tour that you're embarking on the 14th of November. You're kicking off a tour at Auckland. You're coming down to Otipoti and playing two shows, one at yours, it's an all-ages show, and then one at Pearl Diver on the 22nd of November, which is super exciting. I'm glad that you're jumping on the all-ages Dunedin kind of bus. It's really, really exciting. Do you have, you feeling pretty positive about the tour?
Oh, yeah. We're so excited. We've just come, you know, we've been in Europe and that was awesome. But there's nothing like a whip around Aotearoa to, you know, set off summer in the right way. And honestly, I reckon, I'm not even just saying this, but our shows that we've done in Otipoti are our favourite ones that we've done in New Zealand. We played on our last tour, we played, I think it was All Ages at yours. And it was honestly so ripping. So we're like, we're very excited, and to be able to do two shows in one day is epic. So so All Ages at yours with Splinter Sog, and emceed by Anne Ariki, and I'm like I don't think we've had an MC for a show before, so that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're with Strap and Francisco Griffin and the Bus Shelter Boys at Pearl Diver. And we love Fran. She's a legend.
Uh-huh. Absolute legend indeed. And it sounds like it's going to be a killer time. And there's plenty more shows all around the country. I really want to thank you for coming on the program this morning, Lucy, and joining me and talking about this new album and politics and whatnot. Do you have any final words of wisdom or thoughts to leave with our lovely listeners?
Well, just think about what you're voting for next year when we go to the election. You know, like, I'm voting for health. That's what I'm doing. Because if workers can't get healthcare, then society falls apart. That's what has happened in America, and that's what they are trying to do here. So, yeah, let's get them out, eh?
Let's do that. let's not vote in any more scared old men. Let's get some some brave young women. Let's get some of that.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on the program, Lucy. Really appreciate it. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. All right, folks, that was Lucy Sutter from Dick Move. We're talking to Lucy about the band's new album, Dream, Believe, Achieve, which is out on the 14th of November. Super exciting stuff. They're going on a tour and coming down to Otipoti on Saturday the 22nd, very, very soon. We're going to be playing Scared Old Men, my favourite song from the new album, and then we'll have a quiz at 10:30. See you then. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.